What a topic. One that will absolutely, I'm sure, not be covered in about 30 minutes. But we're going to talk about emotional eating in the context of sin. But to understand or to decide, is it a sin? We have to first understand what sin is. And this could be a sin for some and not a sin for others. But buckle up, it's time that we try to tackle this topic. And I'm sure you're going to be annoyed by the time I'm done harping on this $40 off code for my client community. But if you've ever been interested in becoming a client of mine, go listen to episode number 27, where I try to tackle different FAQs and what it means to be in my listener community with actual tangible tools to help you fight the good fight against emotional eating. Hey friend, welcome to Pass the Plate podcast. I'm your host Hannah, and for so long I relied on food to be my comfort. I'm also a wife to my high school sweetheart Jake, a Christian, and the leader of my online wellness community. A few years ago, I was drowning in emotional binge eating and so desperate for a solution that actually worked. And if you're anything like me, you know this feeling all too well. If you're ready to let go of the heavy shame you've been carrying and uncover the life that's waiting on you, then refill that water bottle, sis, because it is time to jump on in. So first, let me start off by saying, even though I'm covering an episode on sin, I do not want anyone to feel judged or that I'm casting judgment or I wouldn't understand or anything like that. I'm simply sharing something that I discovered pretty late into the game of my emotional eating journey. And so I want to give you this so that you can see clearly what it took me a long time to see. And so when I was thinking about this episode, of course, I try to listen to like what I feel like God wants me to share and what I need to cover and really pay attention to clarity that I receive around topics. So when I was thinking about this topic of sin, I was like, okay, first of all, like, how do I describe what sin is? Like, if you're not a Christian and you don't know what sin is, and like, how have I seen sin pop up in my life? Like, what does it look like, right? So the easiest way I know how to personally describe sin, again, I'm not a theologian, I'm not highly educated in the Bible, like I'm just simply a Christian who is on her own journey and tries to be Christ-like, follow the teaching of Christ. That's it. I don't claim to be anybody special, okay? What I would describe sin as is kind of a separation or anything that comes in between me and Jesus, me and God. So as Christians, I believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when I am doing something that creates a divide or separates me from the closeness of that relationship with my Father, that to me is what I would describe as sin. If you look at the Ten Commandments, it's like, okay, murder is a sin. You know, it lists the different laws that God has for his people. And I think a lot of times people are like, okay, those are the sins that I don't need to commit. But like, what does that mean like in day-to-day life, right? Like to me, it's anything that creates a divide or creates separation from me and God. And so how I'm doing this like hyper quick, how do you close the separation? That is where grace steps in. That is where when Jesus died on the cross, our sins went with him. And through him, we can find grace and forgiveness from God for our sins. And that sounds super churchy and super like wordy, like we've heard these words before. But to me, it just means that if I repent for a sin, if I repent from that thing that has caused a divide or space in between me and Christ or me and God, if I am truly sorry for that and I want to do better, that is forgiven and forgotten. Like that is grace. Like it is somewhere it says he casts our sins as far as the east to the west. Like it's basically like never to be seen again. If you repent of it and you are truly sorry and you want to change and do better, there's grace for that. So that is a super high level and Hannah interpretation of what I think sin and grace looks like. So then I thought, okay, what does the Bible say that sin is? Like, you know, I've never really looked into this. Like, what does it actually say in order to share what sin is to someone who doesn't know? And so I started Googling, and what I found was this article that popped up, or a blog, and it was talking about how Paul in Romans 6 is talking about sin with a lowercase s and sin with an uppercase s. And basically what this article or this blog post was saying was that the little case or the lowercase s was basically talking about things like hiccups, like we mess up, like oops, we made an accident, that kind of thing. But when it was talking about the uppercase s, it was talking about things that are causing huge divides between us and following Christ. Like big things that we would idolize, or things that are placed in front of God, like things that we worship. That was what it was basically saying as an uppercase S for sin. And so it also talks about in Romans 6, and it's a pretty brief chapter. You could probably find it online if you don't have a Bible or you don't have the Bible app. But it's talking about, do not let sin control the way that you live. And I'm reading out of Romans 6:12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. So if we stopped right there, and you have just stumbled upon this podcast, and you're like, okay, I've realized that I've been emotionally eating, and now this girl behind the mic is telling me that it's a spiritual problem, and that this is a way that the enemy has kind of like wormed his way into my life. Now that you know that this thing can cause a divide between you and Christ, like for me, it absolutely does. Like when I'm choosing to take my emotions and my stress to food, and I'm not taking it to Christ, that means that I'm trying to fix my stuff on my own, and I am not trusting in my Father and in my Creator to help me. I am trusting in myself to try to help me, and that never works. It never works. Every time I've emotionally ate, there's shame afterwards. Every single time. It never works, and it's not meant to work, because we're meant to go to the person that created us to receive that help and that peace and that fulfillment that food could never. So after you have realized that when you're emotionally eating, you are causing the divide or the space between you and Christ to be bigger, to be greater, right? When you realize that, that's kind of the moment of accountability. I think before that, it's like you didn't know. So like, how can you blame somebody for when they don't know? Like if somebody is rude to you and they don't know what they said is rude, how do you blame them? They didn't know that it was rude. So you can't blame them. They didn't mean to. You know, there's grace for that. But after you have learned that it is something that you have worshipped, or something that you have idolized, or something that causes that space and that divide in between you and your Father, at that point, then you have reached accountability. And in my opinion, you can go talk to your preacher or whoever you want to about this, but in my opinion, that's at the point where it becomes a sin. Like, because you realize that it's wrong, right? And you can ask for forgiveness and you try to turn away from it and you do better. That, to me, is when emotional eating has become a potential sin, is when you recognize that it's wrong behavior to try to fix it on your own, or, you try to take your emotions to something, or you glorify food, or you worship it, or you place it first, or you'll never miss, you know, like a chance to go out to eat because you don't want to miss out on the food, but like you know, don't want to pay attention to your relationship with Christ. Like, I know that that's a huge brush that I just stroked, but I'm just saying, once you've reached that accountability, that's at the point where it's like, okay, you can't ignore it. You do know better now. And so at that point, in my opinion, it is a sin. So that's why I kind of titled this episode, "Is Emotional Eating a Sin?" And what is a sin? And it's really like, I don't know. Have you reached that point of accountability? Hopefully after this podcast you have. And now you know what enemy you're actually fighting. That was my problem for so long. I thought I was fighting myself. And that is what the enemy does. He wants us to think that we are the problem, that we just can't get it together, that we just can't control ourselves, that we are failures. Like, he wants to cause that shame and that blame, because the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy, and he'll use any means necessary in your life to bring you down, to grind on you, to work on you, to push on you, because he is relentless. But the good news is that we have a God that has already defeated him. We have a God that knows all, has all power, and that is what we trust in as we walk in this journey of emotional eating. Our power, our strength to fight this fight comes from him. So, hopping back over to Romans 6, I left off with the middle of verse 13. So instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. So that means our eating, right? That means us moving and taking care of our bodies. That means making good choices for it. And then in verse 14, it says, sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. So I hope that this is a really good message for you to hear. And I think it's very easy for people to cast judgment and condemnation, but they don't ever wrap it up with grace. I don't want you stuck in a place where you feel like you are constantly repenting for an old sin that you didn't even know was a sin at the time, and frankly wasn't, because you weren't accountable to it. Like, you just didn't know. But at this point, you do know now, right? So now we can take steps to be better and do better and make sure that we're not causing that divide or that separation from Christ to be any greater than it could already potentially be. And remember, his grace is sufficient. He will forgive when you are truly sorry, right? Like, I have felt God's peace and God's grace come over me before when I repented for emotionally eating and realizing that I had just been totally abusing my body with food and, you know, not coming to him for my hope. I was going to food every time. I was taking my worries to food, taking my stress to food, when if I would just have taken it to him, it would have been a much easier road to travel. I struggle with the word easier because it's still a hard journey, but I feel like I would have had more peace headed in to this journey instead of the rough road that I was on. So just to keep going in Romans 6, verse 15 says, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, okay, God's grace, right? So we've been forgiven from emotional eating when we didn't understand, okay? So it set us free from that judgment or that law. It says, does that mean we go on sinning, right? So does that mean we keep on eating? Does that mean we keep on, like, tossing the food back when we're stressed? It says, of course not. Verse 16, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. And I know sometimes that may sound like very churchy talk, and you're like, Hannah, I'm not following, I don't understand. But what he's saying is basically that now that you know that emotional eating or using food to cope with emotions or not taking your feelings to your father who cares and loves about you and food will never sustain you. Now you're not a slave to food anymore. You don't have to live underneath that bondage anymore without hope, right? I'm not saying that you'll never be tempted again. I'm absolutely not saying that, but I'm saying that you're not a slave to it anymore. You can fight back against it. There is freedom for you found in the love of your Father, in His grace, and in His righteousness. And that is good news, friends. Like, to know that we don't have to be slaves to something that has felt like it has enslaved us for years. There's people that I talk to that have struggled with emotional eating for 30, 40 years. I have people in my family who have struggled with emotional eating their entire life and never understood, you know, why they felt like this compulsive need to eat and overeat and don't have a switch to turn it off. And A, it can be habit, but also B, I wholly believe that the enemy that has come to kill, steal, and destroy is fighting against us and will use food. Absolutely, we'll use our human need for food to distract us and to keep us in bondage and to keep us trapped instead of getting to take our problems to Christ and get that freedom that only Christ can provide. So I hope this episode has blessed you. I pray that this is releasing some chains for somebody, that you don't feel like you are trapped, that there is hope. I strongly encourage you to go read Romans 6 for yourself in its entirety. It is so good. If you don't understand, get a study Bible, email me, find somebody that knows more than you do about this topic. Deep dive into this if this is the first time that you're hearing of this good news. So if you have any questions, of course, email me, PassThePlatePodcast@gmail.com, and I will see you guys back here next time. What up, girlfriend? Did you enjoy this episode? If so, I'd love for you to head to Apple Podcasts and write a review to tell me what spoke to you or blessed you in some way. I always want this to be a two-way conversation, and this is the best way I can gain clarity on what you're loving. Speaking of conversations, though, are you on social media? If so, connect with me at Hannah Dickey Bryson, send me a message, or share this episode to your stories. Please tag me, though, so I can keep this hangout session going all week long. And as always, if you need support on your emotional eating journey, I've got you. Hop on over to my free Facebook group, and I will see you in there, sis. Have a good week.